Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joining us now, as promised, the Hall of Famer. We even give him a vacation. We gave him last week off because we were
Thanks
at Radio
goodness.
Row. That's not very nice, Coach.
No, you guys gave me last week off. I can only talk to you so much. Come on.
Talk.
Give me a break.
If you can only talk to us, I understand that. But that's because you've been spending way too much time up there in Minnesota. Don't you know? You betcha.
Exactly. Hey, you're from Wisconsin. Leave me alone.
Right.
What's going on today, fellas?
What's going on,
Coach? So we got plenty to talk to you about. I think.
Let me hear about it.
All right. So here's the first one. All right.
You want to talk about the Patriots?
No, but you do.
Okay.
That's fine.
That's
I mean, we've kind of exhausted it, but it.
That's
look,
fine. No, I'm done. I just want to say Patriots. I just want to say that on your show. Then we're going.
You want to talk about the chance you had to be there and you turned it down? You could have been there.
There was issues with that too. I should have gone.
Yeah, you should have.
Best game in the history of Super Bowls. I didn't show up in Houston. Should have been there. No excuses. All right. So what's going on in the basketball world?
Well, it's more than just the basketball world. As a coach, though, I wanted to know your feeling on this. Whether you do or not is a different story, but as a coach, when you were coaching, especially a team when you thought that they were a contender or they felt like expressed to you they wanted to be a contender, when you're going on a road trip, are you looking to go 50-50? Or is your objective, because you think you're a contender, hey, look, we should feel like we should win every game?
Yes, you should win every game. I mean, you guys tell me, you know, actually, when you say, guys, this is where we find how good we are. I mean, you know, hey, you're playing at home. It's how good are you on the road? How good are you against really good teams on the road? And if you do lose, it's got to be an unbelievably competitive game. It's got to be one of those games that comes down to, you know, one possession here, one possession there, because you know that's the way the playoffs are going to come, and you're not going to win every one possession game. But you got to be in. You can't be getting blown out, and you have to go out there with the mindset of we want to. You know, we're going to win every game on this road trip, and there's absolutely. I think that is a huge barometer for good teams. Is that, you know, how well do you do against the other top teams, especially at their place? And if you can't beat another top team on the road. During the regular season, you're kind of, I don't care what your record is, you're a pretender, not a contender.
All right, Coach, and I'm going to switch it over. I'm going to talk about the elephant in the room that was going down in Madison Square Garden the other day. What's your thought on the Charles Oakley situation?
Yeah, that was crazy, man. I don't know. I think Charles Oakley was such a huge part of the Knicks and their success in the 90s, and I just can't see how it got to the point where they were, they were arresting him and thrown to the ground, and they brought him in, and I gotta believe they're not gonna press charges. That was just a bizarre situation. I felt bad for Oakley. Boy, what a way that you don't want to be portrayed or don't want to be shown on TV doing that. I don't know all the backdrop on it. It sounds like he and Dolan have a feud of some sort, but there's had to have been a better way to handle that. That just can't be the way you handle things. I didn't hear a lot of people that were around him, just from reading on it, you know, claim that he was being obnoxious and screaming and everything was gone bad and stuff. So I there had to have been a better way for Madison Square Garden. And then I thought that, you know, during the game, I thought their statement they came out with, like, don't do a statement till the next day and think about it a little bit more. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I said it on air, Coach. I said, when you finish, that's a statement that came directly from the owner, because when you have a PR department that's been there as long as those guys have, you know, you don't finish it with we hope he gets the help that he needs.
Oh, I agreed.
Like he was snorting crack.
Defamation of character. Yeah. People can take it so many negative ways. That is, and now I don't know if you heard about this or not, but now Dolan comes out because I think he realizes whether he was completely in the wrong or not, but he comes out and says he fired the head of security for the Knicks in the Garden this morning after the events that took place. That in itself tells me that I'm leaning more and more towards Oak saying maybe he didn't do anything wrong like he's saying, and maybe it's more Dolan kind of putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah, you'd like to see somebody, you know, who doesn't have an axe grind either way, just sit down with Oakley and do an interview with him, and just have some people around him that could say, he was screaming and yelling and being obnoxious. Then you say, okay, I understand that. You know, it is the owner of the Knicks. he he's being disrespectful, whatever. The fans said he was doing that. I could see saying, okay, you ask him to leave or whatever. But if he wasn't doing that, I just don't. There's no excuse other than the fact that Charles Oakley was just completely out of control prior to them coming over there and removing him from their game. It just, there's no excuse for that. It's, you know, especially an ex Nick and all he meant for that city. And I don't, what a bad thing. I didn't know that. I didn't know they fired the head of security. So that sounds like, something happened.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I mean, I didn't hear anybody, you know, back up the fact that he was being obnoxious and screaming.
No, I totally agree. I think when you look at the people around him, I think the cameras would have started rolling a lot quicker if he would have walked in there just being belligerent, like he was drunk or just talking a bunch of crap. And the cameras didn't start till he was surrounded by security. And when he asked them, "What's the problem?"
Well, you could see, and Travis and I talked about this, Coach. When the security starts by putting his hands on you, that's not a good thing to do with anybody. But when Charles Oakley gets hands put on him, that's going to start. That's going to light the fuse for sure.
Yeah, no question. That's what I said. It had to have been all handled differently. And yeah, you're right. You know, in today's day and age of camera phones and everything else, had he been screaming at Dolan, someone would have that on their phones going like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Look at this, Charles Oakley screaming at the owner of the Knicks. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And since nobody had that, it leads me to believe that they overreacted on the Knicks standpoint. And anyways, it's too bad because it's not a way that Oakley wants to be, you know, thought of. I can guarantee you that. He's got to be awful disgusted in the way the whole thing went down too.
Where are you on this whole thing with MJ telling the owner of the Warriors, yeah, you won 73 in the regular season, but you didn't win it all, so therefore it doesn't mean poop, if you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what? I 73 is an amazing accomplishment. They were up 3-1. You didn't win a championship, but it wasn't like you flamed out in the first round. They had every opportunity in the world to win that championship and, give Cleveland credit for coming back from 3-1 and playing well. But, that's an unbelievable accomplishment. To have it topped off with a world championship would have been the ultimate. But, I mean, they lose 4-3 to a very good Cleveland team, getting to the finals and winning 73 games. That's a hell of a season.
Yeah.
And I know they're disappointed because they actually had that series kind of in the palm of their hand. But I disagree with Michael on that. You know what? Michael's just jabbing him. Let's face it. You know, when you say, you know, that's Michael giving him the business. And if you know MJ likes to give him the business, and I think you probably enjoyed that.
No question.
Coach, man, what do you think about this All-Star game, man, and the guys who got in, the guys who didn't get in? We all know Russell Westbrook isn't a starter. I mean, what do you think about some of the snubs that went on in this All-Star balloting?
Well, I think Russell Westbrook should have been a starter. I think he should have started over Steph Curry. But that ends up being the players have a vote, and I thought the players kind of made a mockery of the vote. Which, you know, then don't ask for the vote if you're gonna, you know, if you're not gonna take it serious and vote for people that, you know, I'm sure some players did, but there were some guys that got votes that you're like, really? How's this guy get a vote? So, I think the media having a say, you know, the fans, of course, having 50% of the say as to who gets in there. You're always going to have fan favorites. But I thought, if you just were honest, being honest about it, Russell Westbrook has had a way better first half of the year than Curry. And it's not taking away anything from Curry, but you're just trying to reward a guy for the 2017 season and how you did in the first 45 games, whatever the deadline is. And I thought that, Westbrook has been as good as anybody. I think, you know, he and James are got to be in the top, of the, you're talking about MVP voting. And, you know, I think a little Isaiah Thomas is kind of sneaking up on their heels, what he's doing in Boston, especially with all that fourth quarter scoring and them playing a lot of tight games and him playing well. But those guys have kind of, you know, have Westbrook and Harden have kind of dominated the conversation. So I think Curry should have made it, but he should have come, you know, I think Westbrook should have been a starter. But, you know, that again, if the players want the vote, you know, don't dick around with the vote.
Twofold question here, Coach. One, because of the fan vote still being involved, I don't know how much you can tell and not tell, but have you ever for airwaves. Have you ever seen anybody making a miraculous comeback in the last vote just because you knew that someone was deserving and someone wasn't?
Yeah, Larry was, I think Trapuka was ahead of Larry one time in the All-Star balloting by, like, you know, I don't know, 300,000 votes. And I think that was back when they started handing out ballots at games, and no one had been doing that. Anyways, you know, miraculously, Larry got $500,000 votes the last day of the counting, which was a miraculous thing.
Sounds like voter fraud.
Yeah, I tell you what, it could be voter fraud. And, you know, he rightfully so, he was starting. But, yeah, I've seen that before. So, you know, the fans are going to vote. It becomes a popularity contest. But I thought it should have been unanimous from the players that Westbrook was a starter, and that 25% should have gotten every vote from every.
That's what I wanted to get to, and I wanted to get your opinion on that, though. The player vote, they wanted it, they got it, and I don't think they took it seriously, because when it was announced and shown, that was embarrassing.
But do you think, and my bad, Coach, to cut you off, but do you think that also is a product of Russell's relationship with Lord Jesus and
KD?
Do you think it's a product of Russell's relationship with KD and how people feel about KD and people feel about Russell? Do you think that affects how the rest of the guys voted?
No, that shouldn't. I mean, you know, their beef or non-beef or fake beef or whatever beef they've got going should make no difference. That doesn't take away from what Russell did. And if you're a basketball player in the NBA and you have a vote, you just got to look at it and say, man, this guy's averaging a triple-double. Come on now. You know what I mean? That's ridiculous. So I don't care if he had a beef with everybody in the league. I don't. You know what I mean? Hey, let's just say that Russell hated everybody in the league and nobody could stand him. He still deserves to be a starter in the All-Star game because of, you know, just his play alone. He's must-see TV. I love watching that kid play. He just plays with such a ferocity that I love. So I don't think that should not bear on anything. And, you know, when you get in the NBA and guys are going to have beefs with each other, got to let all that stuff go.
And we're going to let you go to a break, Coach. We're going to come back with one more segment. We appreciate it. This is good stuff. And it's not all going to be basketball either. We're going to mix it up with some other things. It's not going to be your Patriots, but we'll get to some other stuff as well. Kevin McHale joining us on the show. We'll be back with much more ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Travis Johnson, up until 4 o'clock with Nick Sherrara behind the glass. And to bring a touch of class to an otherwise shady show at best, Kevin McHale, the Hall of Famer, joining us. We gave him a week off for Super Bowl Radio Row, which, by the way, was outstanding, Coach. We missed you. But we're glad to have you back. I'm sure you did nothing but golf.
Yes.
That's fantastic. I hate hearing that. Big thing this weekend is KD going back to OKC. I mean, the first two in Oakland kind of don't have the same impact as the first time that he goes back to OKC. I mean, let's face the facts. It's not going to be a pleasant situation when he goes into that building. I kind of think that they are.
I don't think they will.
I think it'll be really mixed. I think you're going to have some fans there in Oklahoma who were really, really hurt by him leaving and kind of the whole thing. And but then there's going to be guys that just look at it, and people there that say, man, look what he did for, you know, look what he did for our community. Look what he did for this team. They got to the finals. He played unbelievable basketball there, won an MVP there in Oklahoma City. I think it'll be very mixed. I really do. I think there'll be a lot of people cheering, and I think there'll be some people booing because they're upset. But I don't, you know, I think it'll be more intensity on the floor with the players. I think you're going to see Russell come out and just try to, like, if you're Steph Curry, you're like, man, let's not get Russell all worked up. He's enough of a problem without him being all upset and getting after everybody. So they're going to have their hands full with, but I think you're going to see Russell really, you know, try to put on a show and just try to dominate that game from start to finish, and it'll be fun to watch.
Coach, I know I'm kind of, you know, looking into the future, you know, like I'm in the DeLorean, we're going 88 miles an hour. But do you ever see KD going back to Okay, see, I know he had, I mean, outside of the relationships, I know he had the restaurant that is now closed down because I guess people stopped wanting to go over there to that restaurant. It's pretty good, actually. But do you ever see him going back and rekindling that relationship?
You know, maybe later on in his career. I think, you know, you can always go home late. I don't think he'll do that for a while. I think, like, I think he's pretty committed to being in Golden State and making that work. But, you know, you never know. I mean, I thought when I had a long conversation yesterday with Kevin Garnett, who they're doing a special on him, and I was interviewed him yesterday for a long time. And, you know, Kevin went back to Minnesota, and he didn't leave there with the best feelings about everything. But, you know, that's kind of his home, his roots, as far as the NBA goes. And he talked about that. It was very interesting about, you know, coming back and you know, just trying to help the organization. And he always felt a kinship towards that. And I think look, there'll always be a soft spot in Oklahoma City's in Kevin Durant's heart for Oklahoma City. And, yeah, maybe later he will. But, I really believe that those guys are on a mission to try to win a championship and multiple championships together and trying to keep that Big Four together and, you know, seeing how good they can be and see if they can be a dynasty, which is, you know, you win, they, you know, they win this year. And, you know, you win 2 out of 3 years, you win, I mean, how many games you didn't win this year? I said I thought they'd win 65, 66 this year. They might actually win more than that, which is amazing. And, you know, you start talking about them being one of the top teams ever, and if they can keep this role going for 3, 4, 5 years, it's unbelievably impressive.
All right, look, so, and LeBron has, he went back, but I don't think he had the circumstances that KD has that would probably keep him from going back right now with Westbrook. But I wanted to get to the Golden State part of the equation. Draymond Green the other night sees a guy that in Kevin Durant that, for as good as he is, a lot of people always question his fire desire. Can he get that kind of pissed off mentality when he has to? And he literally gets him going to the point where it's an FU battle back and forth to try and get him pissed off enough to actually show some more fire on the floor. And mm-hmm. then have you ever, I mean, back in your day, you ever have to do that? I mean, thing is, it seemed like back then you guys might just get up in someone's face just because, but I mean, you ever go through that situation?
No, not really, because some guys played really well that were just very mellow guys, but they played with a lot of intensity. They got out there. You know, some guys think that unless you're yelling and screaming and, you know, and punching the guy in the face, you're not playing hard. I honestly think KD could always have played a little bit better defense, but this year, you know, he's leading their team in block shots. He's getting his hands on it. I think he's a better defender now than he was at Oklahoma City, and he's so efficient. Look at it. Look at his numbers. What he's able to do shooting percentage-wise, the amount, you know, taking less shots but averaging 27 points a game. He's doing amazing things. KD's just never going to be a Draymond Green, jump up and down, you know, get in people's face, you know, scream and all that stuff. And you know what? So look, I knew a lot of players like that. Like Robert was very unemotional as a player. But
Paris?
Yeah, Robert Parrish. And you know what? That never bothered me. I mean, I never, you know, so I think sometimes you have people that just, like, if you're not like me, you can't be, you know, if you don't do exactly like me, you're not trying or whatever. I think Draymond is doing it to get him pumped up and probably piss him off so he plays harder. But it'd be hard, honestly, if I was a teammate of KD's to say too much to him about fire or whatever, because everybody's got a different personality. But, you know, that's just not Kevin Durant's personality. And now, you know, maybe Green knows him way better than I know him, and Draymond and the guys play together. Maybe Draymond's found when he gets into a little FU contest with the guy, he plays better. So, yeah. You know, so maybe he's found that out. I don't know. I don't, you know, for me, when I look at it from the outside in, I look at a guy who's just an unbelievably efficient, good basketball player that can do so many things that I would not, I personally wouldn't be getting upset if he's not showing enough fire, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's play a little word association, because we had a lot of things going on Radio Row, too, where we had questions where guys wanted to answer them, didn't want to answer them, or they were very honest in answering them. They were great. But we had a segment about who was the best teammate you ever had and who was the worst teammate you ever had.
Ooh, wow. You know what? I didn't have many bad teammates, so I'd have to think about the worst teammate. Let me see. Best teammate? Honest to God, there was such a high level. I was so lucky and so blessed to play with so many great guys. I mean, you know, ML Carr, just pushed you, was a great mentor when I got in the league. Just did a great job of helping me so much. Ray Williams, when I went to college, was a phenomenal. You know, played for the New York Knicks. Unfortunately, he's passed away. Was a phenomenal influence on me when I got there, pushing me and, you know, telling me, man, you're going to be really good. You know, I was a skinny kid, you know, 6'10", 199 pounds, and, you know, we'd play one-on-one and get after it and just battle and do these things. And he was just always, like, in my corner pushing me in, you know, and he was a great teammate. You know, Larry was a great teammate. I learned so much from Larry just on the approach and just kind of on what was possible in an NBA game. You know what I mean? You see guys do things, you think, hey, he's doing it, I can do that too. And, you know, I tell you what, I kid you not when I tell you, like, Danny Ainge is one of my best friends. What a fun teammate to hang around with. Cedric Maxwell, what a great guy. Just, you know, we had so many people.
All right, but enough of the fluffy stuff. Who was your worst teammate?
Worst teammate. Wow. Worst teammate.
You guys had a couple bad apples.
I'm trying to think of really a guy who there's very few I didn't like. I might go with Darren Day from UCLA.
Yep. Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, you know, I just Darren and I just didn't click. We didn't so he might have been my worst teammate. But it probably wasn't Darren, probably just I didn't like him.
Who was?
Yeah, we're maybe that's probably not his fault. I might be a jerk, but most of the guys I liked. You know what I mean? So I'm the fluffy stuff is easier because that's the way it was. Like I enjoyed.
All right, but this
teammates.
Is an easy one. Top three guys you either punched, you wanted to punch in the face, or you did.
As far as playing against,
yes.
Oh yeah, Lambeer.
I figured that'd be up there.
Yeah. Who likes Lambeer? Everybody wanted to punch Lambeer.
Okay.
No one likes Lambeer to this day.
So if I give you two more choices, is it Lambeer, Lambeer, and Lambeer?
Yeah, Lambeer's first, second, and third. I'm trying to think. Hell, there was like I tell you who I was scared to punch. Lonnie, remember Lonnie Shelton?
Boy, you and I have talked about that. Big Lonnie Shelton was nothing to be messed with.
Something. You ran away when Lonnie Shelton came after you. I don't care how tough you thought you were. You hit the exit button, baby. You were out of there.
Yeah, no question about it.
You just thought, like, this is a no win. Even if I win half win, he's going to beat the hell out of me. Yeah, Lonnie was one of those guys that you didn't mess with, and you didn't even think about it. You were just like, okay, I'm going to play really physical and be. But at a certain point, we're not getting into swinging and not getting the fisticuffs with that dude. But he was the guy that kind of kept you on your toes. But he was. I tell you, as far as a basketball player, Lonnie was one of those fat. I shouldn't say that. He was probably.
You already did.
See him. Yeah, did I just say fat? Oh,
you did say fat.
Well, Lonnie was one of those heavy, quick guys. He had quick feet. He was weird. Like when you played against a guy who was heavier, and they really had quick feet, he would go by me all the time. Like I couldn't stay in front of the guy. I'd be like, how can this guy go by me all the time? He was really a clever player. He was he was a hell of a player and just tough as nails.
Did you ever get away with punching someone in a game?
No. You always got thrown out.
But I mean, okay.
Well,
so you did you
well
punch?
Well worth it.
But did you punch? Who did you punch?
Oh, everybody. I mean, I clubbed multiple people, elbowed people in the head. Yeah, if you didn't want to get kicked out, you just kind of swept through high and hit them with your elbow. There's all kinds of ways of doing things back then that didn't get you thrown out of the game. I never thought getting thrown out of a game playing against guys. That it wasn't a fair exchange. Like, you know what I mean? If you're playing against their enforcer and the guy's there to irritate you, getting in a fight with that guy and both of you getting thrown out was a bad exchange, you know? But there was a million different ways to get even with guys. Believe me, everybody kind of took care of their business back then, and you had your little, I always said there was a little no-fly zone around you. You just made sure that you had enough room to do your thing, and just if guys got too close, you had to get them off you.
I get that. All right. So the whole thing with Terrell Owens, Hall of Famer, not Hall of Famer?
T.O.?
Yep.
Yeah, Hall of Fame talent. But there's a lot of Hall of Fame talent guys that don't get in. You know, not knowing them from the outside looking in, I'd say Hall of Fame talent. But I'd also say that there had to have been some weird stuff because he's not, you know what I mean? With the amount of talent he had, that'd be like, you know, Julio Jones. Like, you know, if he's so, he does stuff that, you know, just amazing on a football field. And if they're not in, something weird's happened. You know what I mean? They've just upset a lot of people along the way. And I don't know. Was Terrell Owens a good enough teammate? Did he help?
Does that matter, though, as long as the stats were good enough? For any Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think his stats are good enough, aren't they?
Yeah, he's second all-time in receiving yards. That's why I said,
yeah.
Are you allowed to judge a guy off the floor just because of the fact that the stats are Hall of Fame?
I think how good of a teammate you are is a big part of it.
Is it?
You make everybody better on your team. You're not playing tennis now. You know, I know you want to play an individual sport, Joel. You know, you're a selfish individual like you. This is a team sport, okay? You're not golfing. This is a team sport. Do you make your teammates better? And, you know, and that's a huge thing to me. If you don't make your teammates better, I think that's a huge strike against you when you're talking about a Hall of Fame career.
Interesting. All right, and the last question real quick.
I know you guys disagree with that.
No,
not at all.
I mean, look, if you want to stick around, we can talk about it. Hey, can I ask you a question?
Do
you
believe in the golfer, okay?
Do you believe
we can't listen to
you're killing me. Do you believe that the NBA should have goons?
The team should have goons?
Yeah, guys just to come in like Paul Molcheski comes to mind.
Absolutely. All teams should have a goon. The guy that goes out there and just beats the hell out of the other teams.
And gets in a fight with a superstar.
I think those guys are important. I wish they get back to that. I enjoy it.
My boy Nick said it's a dying breed. He's right. But you know what? Yeah. That's coaching, baby, when you got a goon.
It is.
When you got a goon and everybody knows he's a goon and you put him out there as a coach, the other team goes like, oh, no, the goon's out here. Someone's fixing to get hurt.
Got
to
get away from the goon.
Don't come in the
goon. Don't get the goonies. All right, Coach, we'll let you go. Go hit some balls. I'll catch up with you. But as always, we appreciate the time and look forward to it next week.
All right, you guys, take care. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
That's Kevin McHale. We're here for another half a show. We're at the halfway point. We'll be back with more. Get some oranges and Gatorade, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
JB, Trap Jane, Quick Nick, as we continue to roll on between now and 4 o'clock. We covered a lot of basketball. We covered some ground and other stories. Now we're going to get to some football. We'll get to baseball if you want to get to baseball, because I think we're all excited about the Astros season. There's no doubt about that. And the fact that we'll get to that. But I still hope that they sign Doug Fister. I'm just letting you know.
I do, too.
So the worst-kept secret in football, Kyle Shanahan, one-time offensive coordinator here.
Yes.
Offensive coordinator of the Falcons.
One-time receiver coach here. Yeah.
Blah, 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 resume. Named head coach of the Niners.
Yes.
At the press conference, basically says, still reviewing and going over in my head the Super Bowl. Obviously, you guys know the result of that, which wasn't easy. It's as hard as anything I've ever gone through, which I guess it should be, right?
Yeah. Of course. I think because it completely speaks to how you feel, what you were thinking, and the lack thereof. I think, you know, when you go to thinking about what he's done, you got to break down of why didn't you run the ball? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? I think you got to bring that up. You got to say, why didn't I lean on my technique? Why didn't I lean on what my dad taught me, what Coop taught me?
So here's the thing. I think the biggest thing is at least he's willing to talk about it, because so many guys would say, I don't want to talk about it. But at least he was willing to address it. This is how it sounded at the press conference.
I remember every single play, and I will go over those for the rest of my life. That's kind of the life we live as coaches, and it's magnified in the Super Bowl, but it's also that case in every game. And I was informed of that report, actually, a few hours before I came in here. I don't know if I use those exact words, but that sounds about how I talk.
He was referring to a report where at the hotel he was saying, quote unquote, I blew it. And then he wouldn't admit that he said I blew it, but he also said it
sounds like him.
Yeah, it sounds like himself. Yeah.
I'm glad that he's willing to step up.
But
though.
He blew. I mean, as a coach, they try not to say no weakness. But we always come back in, and coaches always immediately say, guys, that's on me. Remember, Coop used to be the head of it, and everybody used to hate when Coop used to say, man, that loss
everything
is on me.
Everything he said was on me.
It's on me. You know, but, you know, in closed doors, he used to put it on us. But I think when you look back, you got to say this is on Kyle. You know what I mean? As much as I hate to say it, because Kyle's a friend, because he's a former colleague or whatever you want to call it, but it's on Kyle, because Kyle, if you're the play caller, and you know what? I also put it on the head coach. At some point, the head coach should have said, he should have said, listen, run the ball.
Right.
Run the ball. Guys, the first play of the game, you ran the ball 40 yards.
Yeah, Freeman.
Why would you get away from that? I understand that Coleman wasn't running the way he was running earlier because he got hurt or whatever have you. but lean on Freeman. Lean on him. Lean. Get this money's worth out of him.
Especially when you're in scoring position and a field goal ices the game, pretty much. I mean, everybody, every
but you know
like
what?
I said,
they
even,
tried,
the,
they tried, they,
even the most common football fan was the first person to say, all you got to do is run the ball there, you win the run, game.
Because, but you know what? I think he's been around the game so long that he heard the rumors. You know, Coop was here. Why are you so conservative? It was Daddy. Why are you getting so conservative? You know, then he's heard the opposite. So then I think then now all of a sudden it's like,
let me fight those voices in your head, man,
and do just do you.
Yeah.
If you lose running your offense, then that's how you do. But
same press conference, though, he's also already kind of softening the blows with the media saying, now you got to give us time here.
Because listen, one thing about that 49ers franchise is they completely screwed themselves when they screwed the pooch when he let Harbaugh go.
Yeah,
you know, and,
for sure.
You know, and I know. I mean,
that was Jed York's deal because there was Jed a personal York,
because
beef.
It was a personal vendetta. And, of course, you can't. In this league, when you're winning, you can't afford to have egos about your coach's attitude or this. You're winning. You know how hard it is to win in the NFL? I told you about this during the year.
Yes, you have.
How hard it is to win games.
Yep.
And you got a guy who's winning games and doing it the right way. Not cheating, not doing any of that stuff. Imagine if Robert Kraft had a problem with Bill Belichick's attitude and how he goes about things.
Mm-hmm.
Then he loses out on 5 rings. But he's like, I don't care. I'm winning. I'm getting to the games that can put me in position to win the game. You go from Super Bowl a couple years ago to 2 wins. That's absurd. You know that to me is. I mean, and I know he's the good thing about Kyle's been in the game long enough that he's hiring a lot of new coaches. He's hiring a lot of coaches I wouldn't say retread, but young coaches. I mean, he just hired Ray Wright, who used to be our head strength coach here after Dan Rouse. He just hired him to be his head strength coach. He's hiring a lot of guys that he's been around. He's offered the job to a lot of guys. Say, hey, come on, I need your help. Yeah, we're friends. We've been friends a long time, but I trust you guys to run this thing, and let's run this ship together.
You know, the other thing I was going to ask you about is when you're going to become a general manager. Because if John Lynch, I want your opinions on that. I mean, look, he was a hell of a player.
I'm happy they hired him as a GM.
They gave him a 6-year deal. Are you convinced that he's going to do a good job?
Yes.
Why?
Because you know what? I'm tired personally of all these coaches, all these guys that always scream because the guy played and say, oh, you're not qualified. You got to do this to be qualified. You got to do this. So you're going to act like my 15 years in this profession doesn't qualify me, but yet we can go to the guy in Washington that's sitting in the White House has zero qualification for that job, but he all of a sudden he got that job. So now you telling me I'm in my profession, and I've watched this game. I've studied this game. I know what I'm looking for, and I'm a pretty solid businessman at that too. And you gonna tell me that I'm not qualified to be a GM?
No, but okay, and I'll give you that, right? Because he was a hell of a player, okay, and he knows the game. But on the flip side, then you got to start worrying about the salary cap and balancing development.
But listen, there's always a salary cap guy here. Even when everybody always hires a salary cap guy. You know what I mean? When I was here, there's a salary. Every team has a salary cap guy, and his only job is the salary cap. You know what I'm saying? So I think, you know what? I'm happy for John Lynch, and I think more of these teams in the NFL need to start giving guys opportunities and stop saying this guy's not qualified. This guy's time he served.
Well, there's leash is long enough because he and Shanahan got 6-year deals.
But not just that. Look at Kyle Shanahan. You say, oh, he's not. I mean, everybody said, oh, he's finally qualified. But let's look at Kyle. Let's look at Kyle's reports. Kyle was given a job in the NFL at 23 years old.
Yeah.
So when everybody else was still playing, Kyle was getting job. When we were getting experience. On the job experience, he was getting behind the curtain.
Well, he's
job
getting
experience.
On job experience in, for his profession, right?
Yeah. So it's crazy.
All right, we'll get back to more of that if you want to. Plenty more to get to on the show. Right now, I want to tell you about Infuse Energy. It's a locally owned and operated company that provides the best plan for your energy needs. Everybody can offer up energy plans for you, but most of the time they're going to convince you to take the plan that they want to sell and push on you the fastest, the best. It's the best for them, not the best for you. At Infuse Energy, Josh Prestikoff and his staff, all they do is tailor make a program for you from the get-go by spending time with you to see what your needs are so that they can make sure that they tailor make a plan that fits you and your life. If you're a business and you're open from 9 to 5, you're going to get your energy plan that favors the most usage during the day. If you're not home during the day, but on weekends and at night you're at the house, well, then they're going to make sure that the energy plan fits that bill. Infuse Energy takes care of eliminating all the bull, not trying to screw you over to make a buck, and honesty is the best policy, as they provide customer service all from the time you make contact with them till the time you end up moving out of town. They are the fantastic energy company that takes care of you because of who you are and what you tell them you need. 844-INFUSE2, 844-INFUSE2, 463-8732. Right off the top, if you let them know that you heard it on ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit. You can also check everything on InfuseEnergy.com. And when you call, you're going to get a live human being that's going to start asking questions about your needs and your energy usage and consumption so that they can get a program that's right for you. 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up, you choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits. It helps decrease your carbon footprint. You're doing the right thing, and they're helping you along the way. I'm telling you, it's a great company. It's a great energy solution, and it's a way that you can make a difference. Get to InfuseEnergy.com, or as I said, 844-INFUSE2, Infuse Energy.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
Go, 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 go. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
JB, Quick Nick, and Trap J, as the karaoke commences, as we head on till 4
well,
o'clock.
We do got the producer Nick in the building, producing the song.
Producer Nick in the building, who... under the radar, changed. I, you know what? That was one where I got caught completely depanted on that one.
Well, I didn't want to draw too much attention to it. Like I said, it synced up with my site a little bit better, and that's the reason.
You got
why.
Twitter people that were a little hot, too. Lauren Pope and some of those people were saying that they were looking to, they couldn't find you.
Well,
they were looking
tagging,
to tag you.
It, yeah.
So right. Now, who's going to step up and take all of the publicity that you built up and take that from you and grab No Hit Nick?
I don't know. I don't know, because that Twitter handle was really popping, wasn't it?
No Hit Nick.
Well, it just well, I by mean, association.
I mean, the producer Nick ain't gonna be popping either, though.
But hopefully, it leaks. Hopefully,
I mean, but it'd be better than those guys who like to send tweets that you know with 14 followers and swear that they like, oh, it's so unbiased. But I listen. There's a guy that I think we all know. I ain't gonna mention no names. That probably got a few Twitter accounts, because I'm telling you, there's one dude that sent me a tweet yesterday that has 14 followers, and all 400 tweets came from, it's just about this show. I'm like, dude, come on, man. This is whatever,
you
dude.
Warned me before, but you've also warned you, man, me not to retaliate.
That's why I don't even speak to people like that. Because I know for a fact, like, you can always have, there's no limit on how many social media accounts you have. I tell people all the time, unless you have more followers than my 9-year-old, I'm not responding to you.
Okay. Is that rules to live by?
I mean, hey, he can.
I called
can
the guy out earlier this week because he was chiming in with negativity, and he had one follower.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you got one follower. Like, you have no friends at all on Twitter. Come on, man. It's funny.
It is kind of weak when you, because a lot of these guys that have only 2, 3, 4, 5 followers, you know, they got more than one account too. And
that's what I'm. But that it comes from somebody that has another account. They just wants to push their agenda any way they want to push their agenda. So they just send it off from somebody else. You know what I mean? Or say, oh, let me put this fake picture. It's like catfishing all over again.
To me, it's just too much work just to handle one Twitter account. I'm not running no fake Twitter account. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Like right now, like my son right here has 200 followers on his account. And he got, and most of his followers got blue checks. But it's all right, you know.
Well, as I said, I had one that had 82 and one that had just one, and both of them were willing to take multiple shots. And one of them, as Nick knows, was completely because I embarrassed him, because I had put a picture on Twitter of Reggie Jackson crossing over TJ McConnell of the Sixers. And the guy decides to tell me CJ McCollum. I go, well, if you were really savvy, you'd realize that I posted it for several reasons. One, because the guy got his ankles broke. Two, because TJ McConnell is a point guard for the 76ers, and that CJ McCollum plays for the Blazers, and that the article, when going into talking about the crossover, actually got confused and called him TJ McCollum. But until you realize all of that, don't go sitting there pointing fingers, taking shots at me like I wrote the article. And then he tells me his comeback to that was, because he knew he had been had, was, well, then you should be careful about what you put out there as a retweet for people to see. No, that's really not
it. You should
be
able to read.
You and your 82 followers should get together and huddle.
That's why I don't respond.
Before you call an audible.
How long I've been telling you this? Don't respond, unless, because now they're just getting up on your followers.
You've also been warning me about people that have multiple accounts.
Yeah, of course.
On a lot of different cases.
And I've been telling you that. I said, that's like, man, whatever.
See, and you have the ability to do that. I mean, between the popularity of Nick as a producer and you as an ex-player, I'm just the average guy. So I'm constantly fighting to
Try not to hit the block button. I've never had to do it.
I had to do it twice recently, and I'm with you.
In some situations, I think you kind of have to now. I used to be against it. I think I told Joel not to do it, but I don't know, man. If it's just consistent and you just can't get the guy off your back, I think it warrants a block.
I don't care, because you know what? I'll tell him either you know what quick, and I'll sit there or tell him.
But this guy is sitting behind his screen and waiting for you to say that.
Guess what?
In his underwear.
But I don't care, because guess what? I tell him, hey, one, either you know what. Two, how about this? How about you go over to Reliance Center, you go to Bob McNair's office, you ask him to push that button to open the roof, you climb your dumb ass on the roof, and you jump on the Kirby and see hopefully a big rig truck hits your ass before you hit the ground. I tell him, go kill yourself. Period.
That's pretty harsh. I mean, I'm just saying. Nick, you did tell me not to block, but I got to the point where I realized one was a plant who was a huge friend and follower of another show in the marketplace on another airwaves. And it was almost like he was doing it intentionally. And I was just like, you know what, dude? I can do that. No, no, no. But I'm going to matumbo you. I'm out. And Ed Werder does it all the time. Ed Werder says, you know, some guy will say something, and Ed Werder's quick response is, and welcome to the world of Blocksville. You're now gone.
But done. You know what? And that's one thing. With Jamil and Michael, who's pretty good friends of mine.
ESPN, Jamil Hill, and Michael Smith. Please make sure when you name drop, you use the whole name.
So Jamil gets a lot of, I guess, she gets a lot of hate spewing. You know what I mean? Racial stuff. All type of crazy. What she starts doing, she'll screenshot it, and she'll repost it.
I agree with that. And she screenshots
it and reposts it.
Yeah.
And let the followers do the rest.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that would be awesome. All right, I want to tell you right now, because Valentine's Day is coming up on this Tuesday, and I know that everybody can't be the big cuddly teddy bear that Travis Johnson is, and so when you want to give the gift that keeps on giving, and you can't give Travis, thank God, you have an option out there that's still going to arrive before Valentine's Day. It's going to make you look like a hero, and you get one heck of a deal. It's Sherry's Berries. My wife loves Sherry's Berries. Why? Because they're plump, juicy, succulent fruit. The strawberries are fresh. They stay fresh. And then they're dipped in tasty treats like white milk or dark chocolate. Then they're covered with swizzles, chopped nuts, chocolate chips. And they can be delivered anywhere you want to deliver them. You can deliver to her work. You can deliver to the house. And if you use this deal that I'm about to give you, you can deliver it to both. Freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries starting at just $19.99 plus shipping. And you can double the berries for $10 more. You just use the code, which is JBlank. You click on the website, which is BERRIES.com, berries.com. Go to the upper right-hand corner. There's a microphone. You click on it. You put in JBlank, and boom, just like that, you have access to the deal of the day. $19.99 for the Sherry's Berries plus shipping. Then for $10 more, a double dose. You get a full second dose of the Sherry's Berries. So that's why you can say, hey, I'd like to send one to my wife's work and one to my wife's house, which I hopefully live in too, or your significant other, or any girlfriend,
or side chicks, or anything. Girlfriends.
If you get a side piece, that's up to you and the piece. I'm just saying, whoever it is, take care of them with Sherry's Berries. Because of the fact it's a great deal, with Valentine's Day only a few days away, you may have forgotten about it, but they haven't forgotten about you. They'll still make sure that it gets there by Valentine's Day. Again, berries.com, BERRIES.com. Type in JBlank in the top right-hand corner. If you hit the microphone, you get the deal. Order now, Sherry's Berries.
ESPN 97.5.